Alrighty, time for another movie retrospective, and yep. We're doing yet another H.P. Lovecraft adaptation, yet another Stuart Gordon film.
Yeah.
We do a lot of these.
Yeah, well, this was a good, awesome. This was like a good company making a good series, and you know, and it had our boy in there, what's his name?
Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, we always
and,
like that.
Yeah, you know, from beyond.
Right.
I remember I saw it when it came out. Didn't get to see it in movies. I don't know if it had a theatrical release or not.
But our friends and I believe it did, yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, it came out a year after Reanimator, which was actually a pretty big success. And this is kind of, it's, you know, in a similar kind of vein as Reanimator. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like I said, it's sort of a loose adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft story, which is also called From Beyond. This one's actually closer to the story than Reanimator was, but it still goes off in very Stuart Gordon-y directions.
I remember when we first got this. Like you said, it was just right after Reanimator.
Yeah.
And we would rent them. We would just trip out. Me and my buddies who were back in high school. They were new.
Yeah.
But I don't remember where we rented them from. I don't think you could rent these from Blockbuster. I think there was too much. I think they were like NC-17. I think at that time.
Well, this one, particularly when it first came out, they did have to trim out about 30 seconds to get an R rating.
Okay.
But, you know, subsequently when it was re-released later on, they actually restored the footage.
Okay.
They took out some of the gore and took out like some of the S&M kind of stuff. But it's, as far as I know, it's all been put back in there now because we actually, you know, we watched it.
Because I remember it had gore in there, and it had old what's her name in that sexy outfit.
Yeah, Barbara Crampton.
Yeah, and the cop, the black dude, was kind of getting up on her. We were tripping, man. We fucking love that shit. Yeah, because that was really cutting edge back in the
80s. Yeah, I think people like kind of forget that this was like a pretty crazy movie.
Yeah, they all were
for the 1980s. I mean, this was like some crazy shit. It's still kind of crazy in a way. Like, if you watch it, it just goes off, like, in these batshit directions. And it has, like, this really, really wacky, like, special effects that are actually kind of remind me a little bit of The Thing.
Yeah.
Like, some of the...
I think it was the same guy, wasn't it?
Was it?
I don't know.
No, because Rob Bottin did The Thing. Okay. I don't think he did this movie. But the creature effects are, like, actually really similar. Particularly the one part where, you know, Dr. Pretorius comes back and he's all, like...
I remember
mutated.
When From Reanimator came out, and then, Reanimator came out, and then From Beyond, and of course you had the Evil Deads, they were both out, I think 1 and 2 at this time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And it was just like a whole new world. That was the direction horror was going, that was the way video entertainment was going, and we were just, you know, we just loved it.
Yeah.
We were wondering how far it could go. Of course, you know, we hadn't seen Saw or anything like that, you know, yet. I don't think we would have liked those. There was something about these old movies with the mixing kind of horror, comedy, sex, and humor all in the same movie. You know, it was like a full spectrum dominance over you. We liked it. We really liked it.
Like, they still make movies like that sometimes nowadays, but I feel like, well, particularly with like the torture porn kind of heyday. I like a lot of those movies. Like, I liked the first Saw, like, the first Hostel was okay, stuff like that. But a lot of those movies, I think, yes, they're very violent, they're very gory, but also they're kind of mean-spirited.
Yeah.
A lot of the movies from the 80s that were over-the-top gory and stuff, they didn't have that same cynicism, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, movies like that, Reanimator, From Beyond, Evil Dead, they're fun.
Yeah, and they were very optimistic.
Yeah.
They gave you a feeling of optimism, even though these were... It had horrible stuff happening in them.
Yeah, I know that's weird, but...
But you would roll with it. You'd it is kind of funny that his head exploded. You know, just that kind of stuff. You know?
And, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, it's kind of an odd thing to say, but I do feel like they had a sense of fun to them. And I think that's why a lot of people still like
them. They were taking us down into these new directions, and we were like, well, how far can they go with this kind of entertainment? And we'd start wondering, what can science do? What happened if you really could bring a person back from the dead? What if you really could build a machine, you know, that would stimulate your pineal gland and allow you to see into another dimension?
Yeah.
And that's what this one is about.
Exactly.
This scientist who's all kinking into S&M builds this thing called the Resonator. And it's just like a cylindrical thing with a bunch of tuning forks on top of it and a computer hooked to it and a bunch of power. and it would vibrate, resonate. And if you were in the range of this thing, you could come in contact with beings from another dimension. And they could contact you. You could see them. They could see you. And then in that particular field, they could interact with you. And I remember that, you know, when we first watched this movie, during that first scene when they turn the resonator on and you see the little eels,
extra-dimensional like eels around, like floating around. Swimming around in the air.
It was like in the other dimension, was like an ocean, which kind of is like an H.P. Lovecraft type of theme. It was kind of aquatic over there, even though you didn't breathe. The fish swimming through the air, you know, going around the tuning forks. And it was like, wow. Because I remember me and my buddy Jason saw that, and we just started tripping. What if that was really happening? You didn't know. In another dimension, things are swimming around your light bulbs. You know, that kind of stuff.
It could be. You don't know.
Yeah, and that would just, you know, back in those days, for our generation, it would just fuck with your mind. You know, we weren't really sure what was possible. And we still don't really know. Maybe there is another parallel dimension.
Yeah,
you know?
Shit. There could be little things like swimming around right around this microphone right now.
But the machine stimulated your pineal gland, see, which is like some people believe it has to do with kind of like psychic abilities, and the third eye. And it's pretty cool what happens, you know, the people who come in contact with this thing, the little pineal gland starts getting bigger and bigger. And I can't spoil it.
We don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it.
It's an old movie.
Yeah, it is a masterpiece. It came out in 1986. And like I said, it's closer to, the H.P. Lovecraft story, it's actually a pretty early one of his. I think it's from 1920.
Yeah.
And the story is only about 5 pages long. And it's just like kind of, it's almost a vignette more than a story. But it actually has the same premise of like a mad scientist that invents a machine that lets you see creatures in another dimension. But the sexual angle that Stuart Gordon brought to the movie, and a lot of the, a lot of the other kind of stuff that happens in the movie was not really in there.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's, you know, it's more similar, like I said, than Reanimator was, I feel like. And it has more, I know this is kind of a weird thing to say, but it has more of a Lovecraftian feel to it. Like I said, because you're seeing something that's there all the time.
Right.
But here's this machine that makes it visible.
Makes it visible. And you can interact with it.
Yeah. And then, like, not only can you see these monsters, but now they can see you, too.
Yeah.
And now they're going to, like, pop your head off.
Yeah. And they're not all like monsters. They're, like, they're just creatures.
Yeah.
But some of them have monstrous abilities. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And, there's kind of a little, it kind of alludes to a Shaggoth, because, you know, what ends up happening is a guy gets swallowed and his head gets swallowed and the head goes into the creature and the creature becomes the man, which is kind of how in the Mountains of Madness, how the Shaggoths got intelligence. They were like an amoeba.
Yeah, I guess
they swallowed an old one, and then the intelligence of the old one went into the Shaggoth and it shared the information with all the other ones and they rebelled.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of like the Thing. The Thing was kind of based off of Shaggoth.
You know what's funny is that I saw, like, I was reading some reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and stuff like that for this movie, just because I was curious as to what people thought. And, like, most of the reviews obviously were very, very, very positive. A lot of people really, really love this movie. One of the funniest ones that somebody said was, like The Thing, but pink.
Yeah. Well, this creature is in another universe or in the other dimension that ends up getting intelligent. And, you know, I don't want to spoil it, all of it. Is basically kind of like a jellyfish.
Yeah.
It can change its form and it can absorb things. And so it's crossed between the Thing and a jellyfish. And, and it is pink. Or at least,
well,
in this dimension's pink.
That's what I think is like kind of cool about this. And if any of you have seen, I don't know if it's still on Netflix or not, but there was actually a pretty recent horror movie called Beyond the Gates. I think it came out in 2015, 2016, something like that. It actually has Barbara Crampton in it, callback. And it's obviously paying homage to 80s movies in general, but specifically to the movies of Stuart Gordon. And it has the same lighting scheme as From Beyond. It's where everything is like cyan and magenta.
Right.
It's like almost like a giallo thing, but more like 80s neon style.
A subscriber sent us a copy of this movie in HD, at least. I don't know if it's in Blu-ray quality, but it almost looks like a Blu-ray quality. And it looks better than it ever did when we watched it on VHS.
It's a beautiful looking
good.
Movie.
It looks cool, yeah.
And
a bunch of colored lights and what's her name? What was that girl's name?
Barbara Crampton.
Yeah, she's wearing this like pretty BDSM outfit. You know, it's Merry Widow through the whole thing. pretty cool. Yeah, it looked good.
Well, then, yeah, I think what a lot of people that were teenage boys in the 80s that remember fondly about this movie is Barbara Crampton. Because she has that whole, she's actually a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
But she has that whole, like, sexy librarian thing where her hair's all up in a bun and she's got the big glasses and the suit and everything. And then as the resonator turns on, because it's supposed to, like, stimulate your pleasure centers. And,
yeah. So it arouses you. You start doing things you're not supposed to be doing, you know.
Yeah. So now suddenly, and like I said, I guess in the 80s, it's like now everything's so old hat. But like in the 80s, S&M was like very transgressive.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were like, ooh, you're not supposed to be doing that. Look at that. It's like now people would be
before
like,
the internet, you know what I mean? People just would imagine what that was about. They didn't actually do it.
I guess so.
Yeah, the mainstream didn't do that.
And like I said, and honestly, I think, and you know, it's hard for me to say because I grew up in the 80s with all these movies and stuff, but I still think that the effects in this are really good. I think they really hold up. Obviously, a lot of practical effects.
Just it's all practical,
very goopy. Yeah. A lot of creatures, like I said, it's similar
slime,
to the thing.
Slime, rubber creatures, lights, different kinds of blood. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
You know, you get to see fucking Ken Foree from Dawn of the Dead.
It's a gigantic worm in it.
And he gets to, like, fight a gigantic worm in his underwear.
Yeah, yeah, there's all kinds of weird stuff.
You know, Ken Foree was in his underwear. The worm wasn't wearing underwear, as far as I know. You know, you get to see Jeffrey Combs sucking out a woman's brain through her eye socket, which that's very
A man
very
being
nice.
Just eaten down to the bone by a swarm of little tiny creatures that came out of the other dimension.
Yeah, it's that, just, you
and
know.
It happens fast,
You just,
pretty cool.
You know, stuff poking out of people's heads.
Yeah.
It's like people getting their heads bit off.
Yeah.
It's like brains and
fucking
shit. It's just this crazy, crazy movie. And I love, you know, as much as I said when we talked about Castle Freak, that actually Jeffrey Combs is actually a really good actor when he plays a normal person. Obviously, he's not playing a normal person in this. He plays Crawford Tillinghast, who's actually the main character in the H.P. Lovecraft story, but in this one, he's like the assistant of the main doctor, who's Dr. Pretorius, who's the one that builds the resonator.
Yeah.
But since Pretorius gets killed by one of the creatures, then obviously Jeffrey Combs' character is accused of murder because no one believes that this resonator is like showing that these monsters.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Combs' character pretty much, it's pretty much just a guy from, you know, Herbert West, really.
He's being Combsiest.
Being his he combs his way through the whole movie. It's pretty much just Jeffrey Combs playing himself.
Yeah, it's not quite as, I think when he played Herbert West, he was like a lot more,
a little more intense,
sardonic and kind of like, I'm smarter than everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came across
not
like
that.
Yeah, whereas in this one, he comes across as like kind of crazy, but more earnest.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't come across like, it's kind of like, you know, kind of an asshole, like condescending. He doesn't really have that.
When we were kids, we didn't really notice, though. We just thought pretty much, that's Herbert West with a different name, basically. It's that same guy.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, that was one thing that Stuart Gordon really liked to do and why he used a lot of the same actor. I mean, obviously, because they were all friends and stuff. But, you know, Stuart Gordon came up in theater. So he's like, so I was very used to the idea of, you know, having a theater company and having, like, all the same people, like, being in your... And he also pointed out, too, that he wanted to do something similar to what... Roger Corman had done with the Edgar Allan Poe adaptations, where it's like it was the same people
same
in them,
people
just like
over.
In different roles.
We loved it, you know. We loved it when
we
saw that. Oh, it's that guy from you know, everything was a callback.
Yeah,
so we wanted to see the same actors over and over again when we were watching this one. These movies.
And like I said, I think that's kind of the cool thing about it, too. And because, you know, Stuart Gordon developed like a rapport with these particular actors. And he's like, and plus he knows, you know, they know that we're doing H.P. Lovecraft and they might be asked to do some strange things. You
and
know,
it was
like,
the same audience, too, over and over again. It was following along with this. So, you know, we were eating it up.
Yeah. And it's
and they knew we were.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. The movies are very similar, like this one in Reanimator. And, you know, I've heard arguments on both sides. Like, most people like Reanimator better, but like this one almost as much. I have seen a few people saying they liked this one better than Reanimator.
The special effects are better in this one than Reanimator, I think.
Yeah.
Than Reanimator 1.
Probably. I think that's probably the case.
I think they're a little
case.
Bit better.
I don't know if I could pick. It's like they're similar movies, but...
They're a different tone,
They
though.
Have a different tone.
Yeah.
Like, for one thing, From Beyond is not as funny. It doesn't have, like, the same comedic element that Reanimator has. It has, like, funny moments in it, but it's not... I don't think I'd call it a horror comedy. Like Reanimator, the same way that
Reanimator was so focused on dead bodies and the dead coming back. This one is about creatures from another parallel universe. So it's a different tone. It's not as morbid.
Yeah.
More science fiction.
Yeah. And so, like I said, that's what I meant when I said it had more of a Lovecraftian, you know, it's a much more Lovecraftian story.
This is not as good as Dagon, though, but it's still good.
And still again, good. Dagon, I feel like that's a really different,
very different
vibe. I mean, even though it's the same director, you can tell it's the same director, or you can tell it's the same team that made it.
Yeah.
But that one is a much more serious movie. This one, while more serious than Reanimator, is more like a straight sci-fi horror with just some funny
elements.
This one
kind of feels a little bit more like Necronomicon.
Yeah.
They're kind of similar along that line.
It's much better. I think this is a little bit better than Necronomicon. I think it is too. And like I said, it's a really nice looking movie. Like I really like the extreme lighting in it. It gives it like a really kind of otherworldly kind of feeling to it.
Yeah, they got that from the Italians.
Yeah, like I said, it's just very candy colored, very neon colored, and it's like kind of fun in that way. I really liked Ken Foree's character, who is actually a cop that's going with them to turn on the resonator because, you know, they want to prove that Jeffrey Combs' character isn't crazy, like, because he's like, I really didn't murder that guy. It was this monster that came out of the machine. And the psychiatrist, you know, played by Barbara Crampton, she believes him. But, you know, they have to go to the house and turn the resonator on so they can prove that Jeffrey Combs did not actually murder Dr. Pretorius. So, and then they all kind of get sucked into it and stuff like that. But I really, really like the ensemble of, like, the three of them. And so I like that aspect of it a lot. And I like the fact that they kind of put Jeffrey Combs more in the, you know, more in the lead role, because in Reanimator he was kind of the lead role, but then they had that other guy too that was kind of sharing screen time.
Although it depends, because there's about three or four different cuts of Reanimator, some of them longer than the other ones, and I haven't seen the longest cut of it. I'd like to see the longest cut. There's supposed to be more in there, a lot more in there with Herbert West and then the guy who ran the Miskatonic University guy. There's like a lot of stuff. Evidently there's a scene where the guy from Miskatonic University, what was his name, Professor something or other?
I can't remember.
That he could hypnotize people. And that was kind of cut from the theatrical version.
Yeah, remember, I think we talked about that a little bit.
I remember
on the
it. I saw it on one of the cuts that I saw in the past. It might have been an old VHS cut, because I remember him hypnotizing somebody. And then he does it again later on in a crucial part of the film that got cut. From what I remember, I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time.
But. It's funny how much stuff gets like cut out, and then like for years afterward, there's like all these different cuts of it, like floating around and stuff. And I think the same thing happened with this, because they had to cut out, you know, however long it was, like, to get an R rating, which Stuart Gordon was not happy about. But as far as I know, like every version that's out there now, I think everything has been restored. Like now everything is like the director's cut. So I'm not even sure if you can see the cut up like our version anymore.
Yeah, the old theatrical cut.
I don't really
know.
VHS, but it's funny because this is something that's kind of interesting to me, because, you know, I was interested in kind of like the video nasty thing from the UK. And, you know, I read a lot about that. And it's funny because I think Americans maybe think that movies are not cut over here, but they are.
Yeah.
It's just you don't really hear about it.
I'm not sure this movie ever had a U.S. theatrical release. I think it went direct to VHS.
Maybe it did. I'm not actually really sure.
I don't remember
really
this ever being... I got to check, but I don't think this ever had a theatrical release in
the
U.S.
Maybe we could look at the Wikipedia page.
What does it say?
It says release date October 24th, 1986.
I remember that.
So I don't know if...
I think we found it at Blockbuster, I think.
Well, I'm sure it was just like a limited release, like a limited theatrical release.
I remember we knew about Reanimator.
Yeah.
If there was a theatrical release in our area, we would have gone to see it. I think it just showed up. We just showed up at Blockbuster one day.
Another interesting thing about this movie too, very similar to Castle Freak, this was also shot in Italy, which you probably wouldn't know.
No, you would.
Stuart Gordon has gone on record as saying this movie would have cost $15 million to make in the U.S., but it only cost like $1.5 million to make in Italy.
Well,
and they used
also
a mostly Italian crew also.
Yeah, part of the expense would have been all the union stuff they would have had to do.
And they filmed at the at a studio that had once been owned by Dino De Laurentiis.
Okay.
But actually, he didn't pay the taxes on it, so it got like repossessed, and then some somebody else bought it. So it was like after Dino De Laurentiis lost control over it, then this was one of the first movies that was shot there. Dino Chita is what it's called. Yeah. like Dino City or whatever. Yeah. Which I thought was very funny. But yeah, so that's the thing. I assume this had a theatrical release because, like I said, the MPAA kind of came out and said, well, you have to get an R rating, you have to take out this, that, and the other thing. They actually told him to take out much more than he actually did take out. But see, I hear a lot of directors doing this kind of thing where they're like, well, you have to take like 10 minutes out of this shit because this is just unacceptable. Right. And then they'll be like, okay. And then they cut out like 5 seconds somewhere and then they resubmit it. And then they're just like, all right, it's fine.
Right.
I think they forget because they see so many and it's just like, whatever, close enough. It's like, it's the end of the day. I don't feel like watching this shit again. So I think that's kind of what they told him that he had to take out. I think the quote they gave him was, there's 10 times too much of everything.
Right.
And it's like, you need to take all this out. And I think he only ended up taking out about 30 seconds and then they passed it for an R. But then later on it was like, but he was still pissed off about it, as you would be.
It was a good flick, though.
Yeah, it is. If you, like I said, if you dig Reanimator, then obviously you have to see this one. It's almost like its spiritual sequel, even though, you know, it's not the same story, but it's all the same actors, very similar kind of vibe. Not quite as funny, but...
they never made a sequel to it.
No, but, you know, still fun and fun to look at. And like I said, I think the effects still hold up really well.
Yeah.
And it has like a really kind of cool... Yeah, Lovecrafty and other dimensions.
And it was all practical effects, you know. I mean, when you have the actors there, they're looking at something, it's really there. It's not
They're actually touching it.
Yeah, they're actually grabbing some big rubber worm and fighting with it, you know. It's better.
Because like I said, CGI, that's all I can think of is like they're looking at a tennis ball right now on a green screen.
And there was something about, you know, it wasn't all about spectacle and being over the top visuals back then, you know, let you use your imagination. And if something happened in a scene, you know, like a monster popped out of another dimension, it wasn't so overwhelming. It was just, it was like an occurrence. Like, it's right there, so you can deal with it. Nowadays, it would be all CG, you know what I mean? And it would look super, super impressive, you know, like a painting, a moving painting. But back in those days, it was just a worm popping out of the damn pile of smoke on the ground.
Yeah. I feel like CGI kind of puts you at one remove.
Yeah.
Because it's so big.
It doesn't look
so
like it could actually happen.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it could really happen. Yeah. It doesn't look like it's happening in the real world. Everything looks like a video game.
Yeah, and this, you know, they just go downstairs and there's a bunch of foot of slime on the floor and you wade through it and a bunch of damn smoke coming up out of the slime and a worm jumps out of it.
Yeah.
And you actually saw it. That's actually what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't
and you're
drawn.
Like, yeah, that could totally happen.
Yeah, that could totally happen. Yeah. And you got to fight it, you know?
And he's actually. Yeah. You fight it in your underwear. Just
Yeah, he was in his underwear.
And his little, weren't they red or
little
orange?
Little skivvies
or,
and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, his little, like, little briefs or whatever they were. Like, I think a lot of people were kind of
fighting big ass worms in his underwear.
That's how badass.
And it looks like a man fighting a big ass worm in his underwear. That, you know what I mean? That was the best part about it, you know? Today they try to make that look all elegant and, you know, epic.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the fucking worm comes out of the resonator in the middle of the night. You're sleeping. You're just in your underwear. You got to get up and deal with that shit. You can't like.
I don't
take
remember
time to
if it was actually
on.
A worm. It was just a worm-like creature.
It was a worm-like creature. Yeah. They kind of actually more looked like eels or like fish than worms. But it,
I thought
it
might have had a head on it or mouth opened up like the thing out of the dune. Like
a
sandworm.
Like
a
sandworm. They
like
kind
of
had, I thought they had fin type
and some
of
them had heads. Didn't some of them have head and horns?
Were they supposed to be dicks?
One of them was like insect. I don't know, man.
Dicks coming out of the restaurant.
Don't get me lying.
Okay. <well. laughs> But yeah, so anyway, if you haven't seen it, like I said, we've done a lot of Stuart Gordon movies because we're, you know, big fans, obviously.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, you probably should go check it out, especially if you really liked Reanimator.
Yeah.
So that'll do it for this movie review. Remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can do that too, and it would be much appreciated. You can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account where you can give a one-time donation if you would like to do so. And remember, our regular episodes come out every Tuesday. Movie retrospectives, like this one right here, come out every Friday. And our 13 o'clock matinee, which is our three movies at the theater that we saw the previous week, that comes out every Sunday. So until next time, bye.